Reiko here, your friendly neighborhood witch. Now, I know what you're thinking, but you're safe here. It's okay to not be okay. And self-love is always going to be the best love. Self-care is going to be the best care. Now, join me as we let out some steam and become a little less stress and more carefree. Come join me over our weekend detox and let's detox together, because we always want to protect our energy.
Hi guys, hello, how are you doing? Now in all seriousness, it's been a minute since we did miss last month's last episode. We were dealing with a lot of family issues, death within the family, and a lot of high emotions on that. But we are in a new month. We are in the month of August, and we are going to be talking about a very serious subject. For those who are new here, hi, welcome. My name is Lady Reiko, your friendly neighborhood witch when I am dressed up, and a friendly troll when I am not. So today I am a bridge troll if you're watching the video. If you are actually listening to the audio on Spotify or on Podbean, you just guys gotta enjoy my voice today. So before I start this episode, first and foremost, I want to say welcome to my weekend detox. And we do talk about a lot of lifestyle subjects, and we do talk about a lot of subjects that are taboo or subjects that a lot of people don't really talk about or share too much. So we are going to be here to be talking about something that is very serious. And when I talk about something that is very serious, because a lot of people may not know that this is a thing or what it may be called, or they know the situation and not know what it was called. In some particular cases, it is masked as another incident, or it's called something else. So before I start into this conversation, I want to go ahead and give a huge disclaimer today. Warning, today's episode is going to have triggers, including child abuse, neglect, and also talking about health as well as kidnapping. Legalized kidnapping, in a sense. But it is actually classified as medical kidnapping, which is when a doctor or a physician or somebody, a healthcare provider, thinking a person is unsafe and they need to be their rights need to be taken away. It's one of the quickest ways for people to go missing. It's one of the quickest ways for people to get Baker acted, wrongfully Baker acted. It's actually very common in some of the states that we're going to be talking about. But what brought this up, there is a incident, if you guys are very active on social media, there is a lady named Shaisha. She went live about 2 days ago, and I just heard about her story just like everybody else did. From what I have gathered and what I've researched in this particular case, she lost a child earlier this year due to the fact that she was transitioning from breastfeeding to formula. And when you transition from breastfeeding to formula on a child, the changing of the child's nutrition is trying to adjust to going from breast milk to formulated milk, which is not all the same nutrients, and it's not all the same different, you know, vitamins and minerals that you're getting that you would get from breast milk. So she lost her child due to that, because the child was coming up as quote unquote not nourished enough or malnourished. So the hospital took her son from her. She was pregnant at the time with her now few week old baby girl, and they yet again took her child, because at this point they've been fighting relentlessly to get their son back. And with them trying to fight to get their son back, the son has been in custody since earlier this year. Even if they've done everything, they've even lawyered up and everything else like that to get their son back, they still haven't been able to get him. Turn around, when she finally had her daughter, they did a wellness check, because her husband, or you know, the father of her children, also has a couple other kids in a different county. But the county that is keep taking their kids is the county that she keeps going to the doctors for her children. In this particular case, I always tell people that you never know a person's situation, so you have to always treat people with kindness. And in this particular one, it hits home because this kind of happened at a weird time for all this stuff to start popping up on my feed. You guys are aware that I have talked about my miscarriages in the past, and this is coming up on the anniversary of it. So as a person who has lost children, even if they were not physically living, to see a mother lose their child and they have done everything right, all she basically did was tell them, if you want to see all her documentation, because they needed proof of this child being her child, or they needed proof of this child being alive and healthy and everything, they were on the way to the hospital for a checkup where they got pulled over by multiple police cars in the video, as well as they sat here and they took the daughter from her. And they were on the way to the hospital. They were offering and asking and suggesting, can you just ride with us to the hospital? We're not trying to take our own child. At one point, she did try to ask if she can sit in the back seat with her car with her baby, because they said they're going to take the baby to the hospital. And they decided that they won't do that. The lady kept saying, she's like, I don't even want my child out here. And one lady muttered under her voice, I do. And because she didn't want to give them the baby, because at this point, she's been fighting so long to get her son back. Now, a mother who literally is already still dealing with postpartum depression because of her 2-year-old getting taken away, just having another baby, and now having her newborn taken away. And that is a traumatic experience on the child, not realizing that they just did not do what they were supposed to by contacting the lawyer, which is what they asked. They've done everything properly. They stayed within their jurisdiction as well as their legal rights as parents. They said, if you need this information, reach our lawyer, because you've already taken one child and we are allowed to lawyer up at this point. We've been fighting to get custody of our son, and they didn't do the proper call and they failed this family and they took their son, their daughter away. So at this point in time, let's go ahead and dive into a little bit about medical kidnapping. Now, a lot of people are not aware that medical kidnapping doesn't just happen to children. It can happen to adults as well, especially young adults who are not fully aware how to handle and take care of their own medical advice. I can tell you my personal experience. The first time I had to make my first appointment as an adult, my parents didn't tell me how to make an appointment. I wasn't aware that when they ask you those little questions at the beginning, how are you feeling? Have you been feeling down or depressed, or have you been doing this? And you're not thinking, but they're trying to gauge your anxiety and depression based off of that. And you may at one point in time may have had a flash of death because you were driving behind a car and you check mark, yes, I thought of death this week. And now you're getting Baker acted. They have legally taken your rights away, and now you're being kidnapped, even if you are not thinking of thoughts of suicide. You are just basically at one point in time had a flash of death because you were almost in a near-death accident. Now you're getting Baker acted. People don't understand when we are not educated on something, especially when it comes to our medical health, they will take us away. Basically, the simplest way to put it is, it's more common to see it happen with children. It's more common to see it happen in young adults than it is in older people and than anything. It's not to say that it doesn't happen with the older generation, because they may not be able to physically take care of themselves. But if for any reason you decide as a parent to go to a doctor and a doctor tells you, you are not physically fit to take care of this child, or I feel like you're not making the best decision for this child, then I'm going to take your right as a parent at that moment, because they do have social services on staff at every hospital. And at this point in time, I always tell people, you have to be very, very careful about the things that you say or do. Especially as a parent, you are going to act emotional because these are your children, of course. So if they tell you, oh, well, we think we need to take your child's spleen right now, and you're like, well, no, I don't want to do that. Or if you feel like you don't want to vaccinate your child for whatever the reason, and they're like, the doctor's like, I highly suggest you vaccinating. If the doctor sees that you are not making a physical or feasible decision for this child's well-being, they can say that they don't think that you're fit enough to take this child away. And at that moment, they will have social services come in and take your child away. A lot of people don't realize that it is a very terrible and scary thing. And as humans, we're going to think back and we're going to look at these situations and be like, oh my God, this can't be, this can't be a right idea. This shouldn't be something that's feasible. This shouldn't be something that's smart. This shouldn't be something that is, you know, a great idea. And then at the end of the day, it's legal. It's very, very legal. If they feel like you're not fit to take care of a child, then they will go ahead and they will take that child away. If you sit here, for instance, if your child consumes bleach or something like that, they're going to sit here and take away that child from that parent. You may be doing everything right for that child, but in all actuality, they will do it because they feel as though you're not fit enough to take care of that child. So one thing that I always sit here and I tell people, you got to be very careful when it comes down to that, especially when it comes to people in the Black community and we're just starting to get into our mental health and everything else like that. We have to be very careful. We have to. So another thing that can also be a major case that most people don't know, that is like, you're going to get help. So with you going to go get help for your child or for yourself, you're like, I'm going to do the right thing for my child, not realizing that if the doctor feels as though you're not doing the right thing, even if you're coming to them to come seek help, it is the doctor's choice. And that is something that is within HIPAA's contract that they can go ahead and do. Your child swallows a bead because you wasn't looking around for like 2 seconds, they could take your child away from you. Now, what can actually trigger medical kidnapping? And I'm going to be honest with you. Let's say a diagnosis or a proposed treatment plan and you decline it, they will go ahead and take your child away, or they will take you away. A recommended of a risky surgery can lead to that if you have a disagreement with that particular doctor. Prescribing a drug with a dangerous or unknown side effect. If you sit here and you decide that I'm gonna go ahead and give my child more than what they are, or I'm gonna consume more of it than what I want to consume, but the doctor says, oh, you need to take one every day, you take two or three of them, and they find out about it. Failing to address your questions or concerns can also lead to that. If you have a disagreement with a doctor, if a doctor feels like you're disagreeing with them, they can go ahead and take that there. The child doesn't have to even do anything. Yes. If they think your sure diagnosis makes you unfit and you're listening to the doctors and doing everything right, child services will take your child away. And I definitely agree with that. Totally disregarding the suggestions that the doctors give you, and then you suggest doing an alternative procedure or treatment. Like, let's say you don't want to do the scientific method and do surgery. You rather go to an herbalist and go through herbalists versus anything. And I sit here and I tell people straight up, like, you can't sit here and expect people to end up wanting to listen to suggestions. Some people want to get additional information. Like, for me, with all my conditions, I sit here and I have to remind people, like, I don't just go off what the first doctor says. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to go get it. If I don't like what one doctor says, because people don't realize that doctors are still practicing medicine. They're not really experts at it because medicine is constantly evolving, constantly changing. And when I tell you that it is one of those things that you have to seek out your different resources. You don't have to just stick to one doctor. If you don't like what one doctor says, say, but you gotta know, it's not about what you say, it's how you say it. You gotta know exactly how to say it to a doctor that is, you like, you know what, I'm gonna deeply consider your consideration. How long do I have to think about this? If they put you on the spot on it, a doctor can still sit here and say, I don't feel like you're fit enough to go home and make this decision, if they're really being there. Because there's some doctors out there who is literally in history, has literally kept women in hospitals because they felt as though that they were unfit, and it wasn't that they were unfit, they were just doing it for their own selfish gain. So I also have Kat here and my sister, but my sister probably won't ever answer this question. So the question I actually am going to go ahead and ask to both of them is, how would you guys feel if you sat here and walked into a hospital for a routine, let's say woman annual, and your doctor turns around and say, oh, we see something attached to your uterus, we need to take your whole uterus out. Not thinking of you, Kat, saying that you could just take the whole uterus out, because I know that's going to be your first answer. But as a person who don't want to just sit here and be like, if you need to take your uterus out today, and you decline it, and then they tell you, oh, okay, that's fine, and they go out, and next you know, you have a whole new person come in and says, you're not allowed to leave. How would you feel?
No, that would not be okay. I mean, like, given my past couple weeks, honestly, take the uterus out. Fuck it. It's caused me so many problems. But in this scenario, no, that would not be okay with me.
Or even then, me and you, we both have anxiety and depression. What if we went in and we never went to a doctor's office in our lives? Our parents never taught us how to make sure we mark those check marks out. How are you feeling this week? And you mess up and said you had a flash of death. Now you're on them for sudden. They're coming in with a whole person saying, we're going to have to take you to a medical hospital because you're not fit, and you lose your rights for a whole month because now you're being Baker acted. But you ain't even depressed or suicidal. You just had one flash of death and you messed up and marked yes on that paper. And now you're being detained and watched for 48 hours to 3 months. How would you feel?
Not good. But also, that kind of happened today.
What?
Yeah, because I mentioned that I had anxiety, and my OBGYN was like, oh, well, I can put you on anxiety medication. And I said, no. And she was like, but we can make it really, like, low dose, and then we'll wean you off of it. And I said, no.
No, I don't suggest... I don't suggest anxiety medicine and depression. Well, no, I take that back. Because the thing is, if you're going to consider, for mental health purposes, if you're going to consider medication, because some people do need to be on medication. I'm yeah. not going to say anything different. Yeah. But if you are going to seek medical advice, do not go to your primary doctor. Go to a psychiatrist. That yeah. is what they are specialized in. Do not take it from any other thing but your specialist. People fail to realize that they are specialists for reasons. Doctors are not trained in every field. They are trained in their direct field. They can handle basic stuff. If you go to a primary, they're in basic stuff, not into deep, like, psychiatry. They're not into deep OBGYN. So for most women, we have to go to two different doctors. We have to go to a primary doctor and an OBGYN. OBGYN is all reproductive organs, including breast. So at the end of the day, when you're talking about dealing with, you know, people, you are going to end up talking about, okay, so I'm going to go to my primary, but my primary sitting here and wanting to do XYZ, and I have to block somebody real quick. Give me a moment, kitties.
The cat's with you.
Yeah, the cat is with me. And yes, he likes to answer. He likes to be a part of the cause here. But I definitely have to take a moment and block some people because they're not supposed to be on my pages at all. And I prefer if they're not on my pages because that's just it. So hold on, guys. I am so sorry. So... have you ever had any other experience that almost was dealing with mental health issues?
Me.
Yeah, I'm talking to both, actually.
No. I don't think so. But, like, you know, it would be terrifying if, like, I answered wrong on some questions and they were like, well... you're committed now. I'm like, wait, what? No.
I had a doctor cancel my top surgery because she decided I wasn't able to make the decision because I had a concussion. But my top surgery was approved to happen in 2018 and my concussion was in 2020. Transphobic word of choice. And now I got to reapply. Process takes years. It does. It does. And I'm so sorry you even had to go through that.
That's terrible.
Yay. So I had to delete and ban some people. I'm sorry about that, kitties. Because I don't particularly care for somebody who commented on my Facebook page. And I don't pretend to be friends with them. And I don't care. Because they have nothing better to do. And they're very toxic. And I don't deal with toxic people at all. We are a detox area, and we're talking about a serious subject. They're reaching out because they have nothing better to do. So, when it comes down to it, kids, It's not just children. It's just becoming more common that children are the ones that is being talked about on the news. It's the ones that they talk about that, because children will talk. Adults will not, unfortunately, at this point. It is one of those things where I have to take time to end up telling people that it can happen at any point. But I have my ultrasound today to get my uterus out today. I am so happy for you. I actually am, because a lot of people don't realize that that can take a lot out of a person. But then at the same time, with you having a concussion, that should not hinder, especially if it's been years now at this point, or affect anything that goes on here. But I'm going to tell you guys a couple stories that I found that is some stuff that they've talked about on a deep, deep level. Yeah, they have to protect babies. Adults, they typically don't look too much into, but it's bad. A lot of these stories are coming into more actively, like, out in the last, like, 3-4 years. Like, the one that I'm going to read to you guys now, this happened in 2019. This is about a 3-year-old who was taken away. The police came and took away a cancer-stricken toddler from his parents. And what ends up happening is, less than 2 weeks after a 3-year-old was diagnosed with acute lymphatic leukemia, his mother claimed the cancer has gone. And they busted out the hospital with no cancer cells left to spare. And they were actually amazed with his speedy recovery and strength. Now, what ended up happening is, this happened in Tampa. Most of these stories happen in Florida. The lady that I was talking about earlier, that was in Florida. This one is also in Florida. This was a 22-year-old, said that her son has undergone 2 rounds of chemotherapy, and they can get a medical court order to force you to do anything for a child with his diagnosis, so they can. So they tried a number of home remedies at that point. And rosemary and a few other stuff. It was one of the alternative therapies to healing. And they actually tried that. And it actually, in a way, they were told a different story about his healing process. They were saying a missing endangered child was alerted in Hillsborough County at this time. And it was blasted all across the news in 2019. They basically said the parents failed to bring the child to a medically necessary hospital for this procedure. So then at that particular time, she lost her child because of medical neglect. They basically saying the child was endangered, and that's what was the cause and the grounds for them to take this little 3-year-old away from their parents. Because chemotherapy, if you've ever witnessed or been around anybody who's had chemotherapy is not for the weak. It will break down all your cells. Chemotherapy breaks down your healthy cells, your bad cells, everything. It drains everything from you. Imagine a little 3-year-old going through chemotherapy, 2 sessions, and as a mother, watching your child lose that little bit of gleam of light that's in them going through these procedures. Of course a parent's going to want to seek out different options. For a three-year-old. Especially if the child is the light of their life, they're going to try to seek different remedies and seek different options. They're not going to just sit there and want to be like, oh, well, I'm going to just do XYZ. I try to tell people, I'm like, you never know what a parent is going through until that time actually comes up. So I sit here and I tell people, seek out other options. But the doctor was just like, this child is in danger, so I'm going to just take the child. So they took this little child away from their parents because the mother wanted to find other remedies that would not be as bad on her child. Because, again, chemotherapy is a heavy thing. I don't think I could survive chemotherapy. I don't think a lot of people who go through chemotherapy, and you can actually look at YouTube videos and vlogs of people who go through chemo treatment. You could be the healthiest person before you go through chemo, and the moment you go through chemo, you look like you're about several pounds lighter. I've watched people die through chemotherapy. And the chances, I think, are still very slim to surpass in chemotherapy, depending on what the diagnosis is. Isn't the diet, like, the chances of chemotherapy actually working still very thin? It's not, it's a high percentage. Yeah. I think it's like 60 to 70%.
I think so. But I think it also depends on
the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And like the stage of the cancer, yeah.
That part. And I also think it's based off, like, the stage. The thing is, with this particular one, it doesn't say the stage that the 3-year-old was at because the child was only 3. But again, this is also Florida. It is so common. It is so bad because the thing is, a lot of those states that these children are getting reported for medical kidnapping is a lot of the states that in past history, in recent history for that matter, that they have sat here and DCF has taken children and the system has failed them. And I'm being straight up, like, in all actuality, straight up. Anytime that I have watched or read anything and it involves Florida, Georgia, any state, a lot of these states that people are getting medically kidnapped, especially children, and getting put in the system, they go missing. And kidnapping, even if you think it's a just cause for medical reasons, it's still not right to take away a child from their parent. Their parent is still their legal guardian. They still have the right to seek other therapies for a child. And it's funny because a lot of the times that these doctors are sitting here and they're taking these children away from their parents and everything else like that, they're not, they don't understand that technically these parents can go back and sue. Especially if they don't want to get the treatment from that particular doctor. If a doctor feels as though, oh no, thank you so much. No, you need to definitely lower your court temp, Miss Succubus. I hope you have a good day. A lot of people don't understand that it is very, very hearting. In Michigan, back in 2019, we actually had parents lose custody of their 6-week-old son after a doctor observed some marks on the abdomen and reported it as diagnosed of physical abuse. In all actuality, the judge ordered the child and the sibling to be returned months later. After, however, hearing evidence that the lesions were likely due to straps of a baby swing, a special education teacher in Florida and her husband was separated from their 4-month-old son. It is very common, like, if the doctor feels like the child's well-being is too much, then they'll go and take a child away. It's very common, it's very known, it's scary how common this is, and we're just now knowing about it. Just like there's so many things in the news that it gets swept under because nobody wants to talk about it, nobody wants to acknowledge it. We're so consumed by ourselves that we don't realize, and I understand it's like, you know, mind your own business, but what if it was to happen to you? What if it was to sit here and take place to you? Because it can't. It's not just kids, it's women, it's men.
Sorry.
It's teenagers. And I didn't mean to laugh, but I'm laughing at my roommate. She sat here and yawned, and it just sounded weird, so it caught me off guard for like 2 seconds. And I was just like, what in the world was that?
There's a package in the package room.
So, anyway, it's just one of those things where children are not being abused. They could just be children. Yeah, you can go ahead and go, because I don't think I'm asking another question immediately. The thing is, I could tell a story of what happened. What was a little weird, because children are children. There was a mother who got DCF called on her. And the doctors asked if, well, not the doctors, but the DCF asked, do you do drugs? She said, I smoke weed from time to time. That was grounds enough for them to take her child away from her. And this was a state that weed was legal. Do you know how many parents I see smoke weed on social media and promote smoking weed on social media, and they still have their children? I honestly also feel as though this is a, you know, ethnic thing. The one that I called, that I said about the smoking weed, she was African American. Now, in some particular cases, a lot of the girls that I follow, because of, you know, my background in my freelance modeling and stuff like that, a lot of them are, you know, white girls, and some of them are African Americans, but mainly, you know, white girls. And, you know, they're very cool, down-to-earth moms, and I adore them. And a lot of them are potheads, and they do it for medicinal purposes, and I, by all means, live your best and fullest life. But they are not unfit parents. But if a doctor deems, doctors have way too much power. I honestly think so. And I mean, even if I want to be a psychiatrist, if I do sit here and prescribe anybody anything, I'm going to find other remedies. And I'm always going to tell them, I suggest you look into other remedies, because at the end of the day, what may work for one person may not work for another. And you may not like the diagnosis I give you. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, well, I think based off of this. Now, unless you are unsafe for your own self, and you're unsafe for somebody else, then yeah, I can tell you straight up. I can tell you a story for myself. A few years ago, probably about 5 years ago, I was starting to seek therapy again. I was like, you know what? I'm tired of feeling tired. I'm tired of not, I really wasn't practicing in my spirituality anymore. I was at a very dark point. I was on the verge of me and my marriage being on the rocks, everything. Like, I was depressed. I found out I couldn't have kids unless I had IVF. Like, I was going through it. I found a counselor who I adore her. She was super sweet, and I'm so mad that I'm not, like, still a patient of hers. But she put me on some medication. And you know, with medication, within 24 to 48 hours, they typically start kicking in, and you'll start feeling yourself either taking the effect immediately to a good way or to a bad way. And what may work for one person may not work for another person. And also, if you're being mixed diagnosed, because people who with bipolar depression may actually have borderline personality disorder or even schizophrenia. Like, it's literally, you have to figure out what a person is diagnosed with. They put me on some antidepressants, and this is a different antidepressant than what I was on prior to the one in this recent years, but this was the first set of antidepressants they put me on because I was severely depressed, like crippling. I didn't care if I lived or died, if I didn't eat, if I was to play, if I was to walk into traffic, I really wasn't looking both ways. I was not aware of my surroundings. Like, that's how depressed I was. So they put me on medication, and with me, when I'm not feeling emotions, I don't feel alive. This medication suppressed every emotion, so I felt almost like a zombie. And then when I got to her to do a follow-up a week later, I told her I felt worse because I didn't feel nothing, and that at that point I was literally debating, like, I felt like, when you don't feel like you're feeling, or if you don't feel alive, the only thing that you question is, am I really alive? And it's weird, and I hate to say this, so this is a major trigger warning about suicide. I'm so sorry, guys. But unfortunately, this is, it's part of who I was and who I am now. And I didn't feel anything. So for me to not feel anything, it made me not feel alive. And I was really questioning, am I alive? Because I can't feel anything. So ultimately, what I end up doing was, I sat here and was just like, if I'm not alive, then maybe I should just kill myself. And I literally went that way. Like, I literally thought that way. So I told my therapist this, and I told her, I don't like this medication. Because I don't feel anything. I don't feel happy. I don't feel sad. I don't feel depressed. At least when I felt feelings and I knew what those feelings were, I could process it. But this I couldn't process because I didn't feel anything. Like, it was almost like I didn't feel like I was breathing or in this moment. And it didn't feel good to me. Like, I didn't like it. I knew I didn't like it. That's the only thing I knew. So I went home and I just went to sleep. I just went home and laid down and went to sleep. But she was so concerned about me that she drove to my house. I was by myself. She drove to my house. She blew up my phone, drove to my house. She technically should have showed up to my house with some cops because I went to sleep. Last thing I told her was I felt like I couldn't do this. Like, I told her I can't do this. And that's literally all I said to her. And I went home and I laid down, and she was so concerned. She came to my house like an hour later. She was blowing up my phone trying to reach me. That is a doctor that's concerned. And then she got me off the medicine, of course, and she told me, I would like to see you tomorrow. You need to come see me. I will clear my schedule. One of the people she knew wasn't probably going to come, she cleared them out and told them to reschedule, and she had me come back in and told me to stop taking the medication immediately. So that's the difference with that doctor versus some other doctors. Some other doctors will literally not take the advice of the patient about their well-being and then completely like, well, I think that you should do this. A lot of people don't realize how power hungry doctors are and how they think they are. Sometimes that they take their power way too far and beyond. And as a person who wants to see the best in everyone, if you don't feel comfortable enough with a doctor, if a doctor tells you, well, I suggest you do an XYZ, say, you know, that's a very good suggestion, but I am going to seek other options. And just seek guidance. Don't just go with the first diagnosis that you get, because sometimes doctors are going to misdiagnose you, and that's just it. And I always tell you guys, when you guys come to my shows, like when we talk about medical health and mental health and everything else like that, if a doctor does not make you feel good, or if you feel as though that their diagnosis isn't right, then you need to go seek other counsel, because at the end of the day, your health should matter enough to you to not just take the first doctor's excuse, because some doctors do half-ass their work. And I hate to say it, but some do, and some of them have power trips where they automatically think they know what it is. And the thing is, some people are so tired of doctors because they get misdiagnosed every single point of the way that it drives them crazy. In the particular case, some doctors forget their bearings and forget to have bedside manners. That's the reason why more people like nurses than they like doctors, because doctors don't have bedside manners. Nurses do. And if you feel as though that you're not safe, or your child's not safe in the care of a doctor's office because a doctor suggested something and they're adamantly suggesting, make sure you have the lawyer services ready. Make sure you seek the proper counsel. You talk to them logically. And if they do decide to take your child away from you in custody, you find the legal process to get your child back. Especially if you are a good parent and you are doing everything in your power to make sure your child is healthy, and you came to this facility to seek help for your child, and you're doing that because you care about your child. That's not abuse. That's being a parent. Don't ever let a doctor tell you how to raise your child and how to make a decision. Now, I can understand if it is a life or death situation and your child is being abused, because I've had my share. I did clinicals in an ER. When I did clinicals in an ER, I've seen some stuff. I've seen some stuff when it's actually children were being abused, molested, raped, and those children went back to the parents. Now, that situation, I can see why a parent would lose their child, but I've seen it where children are getting hurt and they go back to their parents. And even for me, the reason why I'm so irritated about this story is because I was trying to be a foster parent in the state of Florida a couple years back with my ex-husband. And when I tell you the stories that they tell you in those training classes to become foster parents, it's devastating. It's disturbing. It is literally heartbreaking. And then to read the stories of these parents who are abusing their children because they keep getting taken from the system, and the system keeps giving them back. This woman has been fighting to get custody for her child, and I've witnessed people who are still foster parents to this day get the children that has been in their house for 2-3 months to 6 months to 3 years get brought back to a parent who turns around and kills said child because they were abusing the child, and they were like, if I can't have you, nobody can have you. But these parents are good parents trying to do the best thing for their children, and they're getting their children taken away, and it hurts my soul, because as a person who've had 2 miscarriages and don't have living children of my own but have 5 godbabies who I will do everything for, everything for, it hurts. The system fails these parents. The system fails these parents who are good parents to their kids. Oh, you're too young to have a 2-year-old. You're 16 years old with a 2-year-old. You're not fit to take care of this child. Now the child's gone. How do you can dictate if the child's going to be, if the child's in good care or not? You don't know what kind of household they have. They may have a very supportive household where she has a whole village taking care of a child. She's 16. I try to tell people at the end of the day, seek counsel, know your rights. Know, especially when it comes to medical offices. Even if I sit here and suggest, oh, that got bright. Even if I sit here and suggest to you guys all the time, go seek medical help, go get your checkups, stay hydrated, protect your energy. When it comes to your babies, you do the same thing. Check your children. Love your children enough to know when they're safe. And even then, in hospital settings, it is a scary, scary place. Know what you say and how you say it. When it comes down to you, when it comes down to the things that you guys do, some of the best people I know are raised by young single moms. Exactly. Some of them are. But the thing is, though, like, some people don't get their children checked all the time, and that technically is grounds to get their child taken away. Oh, your child decides they don't want to eat food. These kids that are not eating lunch, or they look malnutrition and they're like 12, but they're only 70 pounds and stuff like that. And it's not because they have a high metabolism. The little girl, I can't remember her name. I was watching a documentary on it not too long ago. I watch a lot of serial killer documentaries, guys. I know you guys probably hear like those memes talking about like how I sleep at night after watching a serial killer documentary, and it's that Homer Simpson like meme and stuff. That is straight up me. I would sit here because the human mind fascinates me, and making the why and the reasons why people do. But there was a girl whose stepmother basically abused the little girl, and then they took her away for a while, and the system gave her back. And I feel so bad for the husband, but then I don't feel bad for the husband because he allowed it to happen. And it's just like, he even helped try to burn his baby's body in a trash can. But what happened is the system saw her lose a lot of weight, and they just kept giving her back to the family. Those are the people that you need to take children away from. Like, those are the people. Or the incident of the military mom who took her daughter on a quote-unquote trip, but then her baby's body was somewhere in, like, Mississippi somewhere. But she went back to Jacksonville, back on base. Like, yeah, my child, you know, she's missing. Military woman. Those are the people who should not have children. It baffles me that DCF takes children from the wrong families, but then and keeps giving children back to the wrong families. Like, they don't make good judgment calls. And in that particular case, it's the judge. It's not even DCF. That's the judge at that point. Because the judge is the one that's like, yeah, you can go back to your kid. You can go back to your children. And your children can come back to you. That's the judge making that call. They give you a limitation and tells you what you got to do. But these people who have, she's like, I have literally done rallies. I've donated. I have keys. I have this, that, and the third. I'm doing so much for the community. She is not showing signs of any reason or why she is a threat to her child's well-being. And she even explained to them that, you know, there is a change when you go from breastfeeding to formula feeding, because it's not the same nutrients. Just like when you change diets, Like, if you decide to go from eating meat to being a full vegetarian, you got to change stuff. You got to find a formula to make up for the lack of protein that you don't have in your life anymore, and vitamins that you're not getting, and iron you're not getting anymore. It's the same thing with children. And children, of course, their skin is still not as hard as ours as adults. So if a child is on a child swing or being swaddled, they can actually have ridges. Like, let's say you take a nap, you have them line marks from when you done laid on your arm. A child's is going to be the same way, but it's going to have red markings because they're children and their skin is not as thick as ours. That's not grounds of taking your child away. It's not. Be careful, guys. Be diligent. Not just for your children, but for yourself. And I'm saying this because this is something that's very passionate to me, because there's been numerous times I should have been Baker acted. Because when I first got my first doctor's appointment, I was one of them idiots who checked off because I had a near-death experience on the way to the hospital to go get my checkup, saying, yes, I had thoughts of death because I thought my life was going to flash before my eyes. I almost got Baker acted. They held me at the hospital for 3 hours. My appointment was only supposed to be 45 to 50 minutes, and I was there for 3 hours. They held me there for 3 hours. They were like, do you understand what you checked off here? And I was like, no, I don't. I was just letting you know, on the way here, somebody almost hit my car. Like, that, you asked me, did I have the thoughts of death? Yes, I almost died. I almost was about to be there with no phone and had to leave my shoes there in the hospital and be on guard by somebody because they thought I was going to be an endangerment to myself. And I mean, I take my health very seriously. Like, to a point. Like, I'm so serious. And even for my single women, if y'all go to clinics, especially privately owned clinics, that's saying this, it's the same there too. You can literally get medically kidnapped there too. Especially if you get a skeezy doctor. Oh, you can go missing. Human trafficking is huge too. So that's the reason why I'm diligent on this particular subject, because at the same time, human trafficking is getting crazy. And the reason why I'm so concerned about the medical kidnapping is because in DCF's care, over 1 million children every year go missing in DCF. They go missing in the system. How you lose kids in the system? Make that make sense. Make that make sense. I'm serious. How do people go missing in the system? Cat. Khadijah.
I don't know. I don't know how they would mess
it up. They should have paperwork. We have computers. In Georgia, 17 kids went missing. Florida. There's so many records of children gone missing in Florida. And most of these cases happen in Florida. But everybody wants to go move to Florida, though. And I just moved from there.
Florida sucks.
We all just moved from there. All three of us just moved from there. And the thing is, Florida is not great, but it's not bad either. But they do a lot of ass backwards things.
They do.
They do a lot of ass backwards things. It is great to travel if you're a tourist, but if you live there and you've actually lived there, it is shitty. Some people love Florida and will never leave Florida because that's all they fucking know. I've been there since I was after 9/11 on and off for several years up until it wasn't even 9/11. I'll probably say it was probably the year after we moved, because I think my mom was still in for like a year in the military. But when I tell you, when you live there, you kind of learn some stuff. And the governor, and I don't talk politics, but the governor does not care about humans. He's the next closest thing to the devil. And that's coming from somebody who's a witch, and I just balance good and evil. He does not care about the people. He claims he cares about the people. No, he does not. Like, how in the world are you going to sue schools, a place that children are supposed to be educated, if you mandate that children are supposed to wear masks? So you care, sir, more about parents being disgruntled because their children have to wear masks, or are you more concerned about your COVID rates? Because Florida and California, I think, are the two biggest hotspots, as well as New York.
I think so.
For the Delta variant right now?
Florida's definitely, like, at the top.
Yeah, and it's the highest of human trafficking, too. So, and the thing is, too, a lot of people get kidnapped out of hospitals. A lot of people get kidnapped out of hospitals. Not just medical kidnapping, but straight up, like, people will walk away from a hospital and go missing. And nobody reports them. A lot of these things go unreported. A lot of, even with the medical kidnapping, a lot of them goes unreported. A lot of them do. Newspapers don't want to talk about it. Social media, we just so happen to luck out with, you know, the one that I was talking about at the beginning. Because at the end of the day, they were streaming live as it was happening. But in all actuality, Florida is great in certain aspects, but it's horrible in everything else. You want to go there to have good health? You ain't gonna get it. You ain't gonna get it. Because even then, like, for me, for the most it has is Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
Texas is worse than New York.
Texas is worse than New York?
California,
what is the...
Texas, and Florida.
California, Texas, and Florida has the highest COVID rates right now.
New York is makes sense,
number
though.
Four. And then in New York...
Yeah, New York will be number four. But Texas is number two.
Dang, Texas is number two?
Yeah. Yeah,
mask up, please. Because I have a friend, I have two friends right now that have COVID. One of them, well, she's an associate right now because she done pissed me off. But I have one friend who is in the hospital right now for COVID. And I'm worried about her. And I text her every single day since she's got out of her coma. She went into the hospital due to complications with breathing. Come to find out she had COVID. She ended up passing out in the hospital and went into a coma. Because she couldn't breathe. She wasn't getting enough oxygen to her brain. She was in a coma for more than 48 hours. And she came out of the coma, thank the gods. But she is stuck at the hospital until she no longer has COVID. She is not vaccinated. She chose to not get vaccinated. Her child is vaccinated, but she's not vaccinated. She chose not to get vaccinated for her own purposes because she really... She's against it, but she wanted to protect her child. She made a conscious decision to do it for her child. It wasn't for her. So, please mask up. I don't care if you got the vaccine. I have the vaccine. I still mask up. You see me in public, my mask will still be on my face. Unless I'm eating. And even then, I already don't like people. So, lockdown was just heaven to me. I just get in my car and just drive off. Because as an empath, it's kind of hard to be around a lot of energies for too long because it's overpowering. I don't even like being in family events for too long because it makes me uncomfortable because I can feel everybody's energy and I can feel whatever energy they have carrying and stuff. So I'm one of those people, like, I will be far away. If you happen to catch me at open mic night, you were lucky because Ghost Blurred Games has gotten me at plenty of open mics. And for me to be there, the energy and the vibe has to be right. But ultimately though, try to mask up, people. And it's going to get worse because we're getting into those months where it's colder and viruses are going to be more rapid. It's flu season. So guess what? People are going to be coughing. People are going to be sneezing. People are going to be touching things. So you're going to be more liable to get COVID. So please, please, please mask up. And I mean this, even if it's not for your well-being, it's for you. I mean, like, for other people's well-being, it's for you. I don't care if you got vaccinated. If you sit here and say that you can't breathe in those masks, honey, I have asthma and I have anxiety. And then if let my asthma act up and then my anxiety start acting up and then I can't breathe, guess what? Now I have a panic attack and I'm literally sitting here having to literally do the butterfly effect to try to calm down because I can't breathe. And I have an inhaler. I have two different inhalers. So for these people to say that, oh, they can't breathe, and then they're using what caused the BLM movement, it's just, you know, I don't like that they use that. Honestly, If you don't want to wear a mask, stay away from people. Don't touch people, wash your hands, and fucking wash your ass. That is just the other thing I can honestly say with that. Because at the end of the day, viruses thrive on, you know, people. They need us to live, and they can't be eradicated. They're just going to mutate, and it's going to continue mutating, just like the flu. You're going to keep needing vaccines, ladies and gentlemen, for those who decided to get the vaccine. I'm not doing it again because it made me sick. Like hell, you gave me one time, I don't get the flu vaccine. I got it once, and I was sick for 3 weeks. I did this one, I was sick for 3 weeks. I did it once to for my family purposes, and that's it. But honestly, at the end of the day, if you wash your hands, stay 6 feet away from people, and don't touch people. If you sit here and touch your saliva and your boogers, children, please just wash your hands. Like, common hygiene. That's it. That's it. And if you have to go to the hospital, if you have to go see people, just, you know, be safe and smart about it. I get that people want to go out and have fun and everything else like that, and I'm not bashing that, but just be very mindful of that, you know, the risk that you're taking going out, the risk that you're going to have to take to go out. And if you got to go to the hospital because, you know, you have a call for anything else like that, be mindful of that as well, because at the end of the day, if you say the wrong things to the doctors, you can be snatched up. And just always protect yourself, especially if you live in a major city. I know I don't went off a tangent at this point because we started talking about kidnapping. but I'm serious about these subjects, guys. I really want you guys to be safe and healthy always. I want you guys to live your best and fullest life and, you know, go the routes that you need to go and be the people that you want to be. I want to see people flourish. I want to see people travel, but I also want to see people safe and healthy. Those who are not bad. I want to see children with their parents, especially if their parents are doing a good job, you know, and fight. Help these people, these parents. There's people out in the world who can't have kids. There's people out in the world who don't deserve kids. If you see, and I'm sorry I'm about to go on a tangent, but you guys know I kind of do this, especially if I feel very passionate about it. If you know for a fact that a parent is abusing a child, and instead of saying, like, I mean, you need to have proof that a parent is abusing a child, say something. Because the little girl that I was talking about in Jacksonville, where the mother took her child on a trip and ended up in Mississippi, and the little girl's body was found in Mississippi, she said she was going to take her to go see family, and the baby was found in Mississippi. The neighbor saw this little girl walking around with a diaper on and no clothes a few times and didn't say nothing to DCF. They just took the little girl back home. Those are signs of abuse, neglect. If a child tries to keep running away from home, yes, it may be rebellion, but at the end of the day, there's always an underline on why a child is doing what they're doing. If you see something, say something. That's it. That's the only thing else I have to say. If you do something, if you see something, do something. Like, if you see something, do something. If you see something, do something. And I'm saying this over and over again because I mean it and I'm adamant about it. Especially, like, if you live in a major city like New York or in Florida where, you know, where abduction is very real. If you're on a train station and you see a guy ogling a girl who's sitting by herself, go sit by her and say, hey, somebody's staring at you, but I'm gonna stay next to you until they leave. And don't be creepy about it. And I mean, do it because you genuinely don't want this girl to be creeped on, because New York is crazy. Like, I'm not gonna lie, since I've been here, I done seen some weird things pop up on a few apps that I have for tracking what's going on in my area. So if you see a girl and she's sitting on the train station by herself and at night, tell her, hey, look, there's somebody watching you. I'm going to come sit next to you. I'm not trying to be offensive. I want to do it for your protection. Especially if you're another female and you notice it, come sit next to them. Like, hey, look, I'm not trying to be weird, but there's a dude eyeing you and I don't want nothing to happen to you because we got to sit together. I'm 5'4". My roommate's 5'2"? 5'3"? Yeah, 5'2". And then my little sister's 5'2".
We're all short.
Shorty. Huh? Oh, my sister's 5'1". They're short. Like, if I see somebody who's sitting here and they're in, like, they're short, and this dude who might be 6'8", staring them down, I'm like, Lord, you can get kidnapped. Hold on. Baby girl, let me come sit next to you. Like, hey, what's good? Hey. You good? What I see you gotta get off? You get off? Oh, okay, cool. I'm gonna come sit next to you. Because somebody's watching you. Be diligent. That's it. And then ladies, take self-defense classes. That's also that. Take self-defense classes, because guess what? You ain't gonna be with somebody all the time. So, you know, be precautious. And this is not just in New York. This is everywhere. Women everywhere. Just please, 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 please. I'm serious. On all actuality, be diligent of your surroundings. Who's around you? Who's abusing the power? And if you see something, say something. Even in the hospital settings, if you are a nurse and you're seeing doctors abusing patients, say something. They have too much power. There's a lot of doctors who are egotistical and they have power trips. And this is, these medical kidnappings is definitely signs of egotistical doctors. I'm serious. I'm Only you knows what's best for you. Don't ever let a doctor bully you into anything. At the end of the day, if you don't like their diagnosis, go seek additional help. Now, if another doctor gives you the same diagnosis, then maybe, you know, that it is what it is. You need to take that diagnosis at that point. But just take care of yourselves. Take care of the babies. Y'all know I'm a softie for children. Especially because of my past, I'm a softie for kids. So, I'm done venting. I'm done about this subject. I'm not going to go into any more about it. Again, I am so sorry. Please, guys, research medical kidnapping. Research what is going on in your area, especially when it comes down to COVID. Please mask up. Please take care of yourself. Love those who are in your life, who wants to be there for you and take care of you and concern about you, because you never know when you might lose somebody. I lost 5 people to COVID last year. I take it very serious. And the rest of the last 3 people I lost last year, I lost to either natural causes or murder. If you care about people, you're going to give advice to people because you care about them. You're going to tell them how much you love and appreciate them every single day. You're going to sit here and you're going to call them, not wait for them to call you, because you're thinking of them, because you care about them. Check on them. And I say that because I also found out there was a woman who, during COVID, her son was in the same house as her, and he died. He committed suicide. And for 2 days, the parent did not know. They were in the same household for 2 days. She did not know her son committed suicide. If you care about somebody, check on your people. I don't care if you're mad. I don't care if you're upset. I don't care if you have any issues with them. Whatever the case is, if you care about that person enough, check on them. You never know what they're going through. They could be smiling at you every day, but they might be battling some demons at home you may not even know. So with that being said, guys, with love, peace, don't let nobody halfway love you. Self-love is the best love. Self-care is the best care. And it is okay to not be okay. From your friendly neighborhood witch, your friendly neighborhood bridge troll, with special guests, my sister Diva and my friend Kat, my best friend, my spiritual partner, I just want to let you guys know that we tell you this information because we want you to be aware. We tell you this information because we want you to be safe. And until next time, not this Friday, but the following Friday, 4th Friday of the month, we'll be back with something probably a little bit more positive and uplifting in supporting some black businesses. I will see you guys at the end of the month on the 4th Friday. And it's been real. Stay blessed and blessed be.